Bye-bye.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And thanks to Sarah and our engineer today is Nate. Congratulations, Nate, for being named the new news and talk director at WORT. And thanks, as usual, to Lainey. Stay tuned for the funny boys. I'm Esti Dinor. Bye-bye.
Six foot six above sea level. I grab the mic because I like to take you to another mental level. Low power frequency radio modulation. The big sound from underground, another pirate station. We bring the truth to places truth is never heard before. We bring the sound communication of our tribal war. Dark vision fly by helicopters in the night. Attempt triangulation of our station in the fight. Straight from the base, deep down, low precision. High crime treason, we broadcast in sedition. Like the Wall Street morning, afternoon edition. Commandeering airwaves from unknown positions. Live and direct, we come and never pre-recorded. With information that would never be reported. Disregard the mainstream, media distorted. We come and listen and supported. Live and direct, we come and never pre-recorded. With information that would never be reported. Disregard the mainstream, media distorted. We come and listen and support it.
Michael Marie.
Are you listening to WRT Madison? Hello, Mel and Floyd faithful. It's your boy Elmer here. Everybody is still on break at the station, so we're presenting an archive from 2017, which has some ironic content that I think has aged very well. Enjoy!
When the Führer says, wie ist der Master Ace? Wie heil, heil, right in the Führer's face. Not to love the Führer is a great disgrace. So wie heil, heil, right in the Führer's face. When Herr Goebbels says,
I feel good. I knew that I would.
Had to break out our old chestnut there to just for a special occasion. So.
Well, if things are keep going the way they are, that you'll be learning that in third grade.
Be our new theme song.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. It's been a tumultuous week, has it not?
So last week we talked
last week
about,
at this time, as you remember.
We talked about nuclear war.
Yes, we did.
And this week we're talking about Nazis.
Yeah. Yep.
Just gets better and better.
Yep, just rolls right along. Yeah. So there's a late-breaking announcement, which many of you listeners wanted us to know about.
Right. Steve Bannon is leaving the White House to spend more time blowing his own horn, apparently.
So you know why. You know why.
Why?
The president fired him.
Why?
Because he's a showboat. He's getting more attention than the orange one is. That's the beginning of the end.
Mm-hmm. Well, he gave some interview this week,
right?
And he actually disagreed with the dear leader.
And
about North Korea, saying we shouldn't.
How appropriate.
We shouldn't be saber rattling so much with North Korea, and that didn't go over well.
I think you're
actually more on point there. That
right.
It was just the attention.
It was like the content. It was like they're talking about that guy. They're not talking about me.
What about me? They haven't said anything about me for a couple of seconds.
Yeah, right, exactly.
It really, the Daily News, I think it was, ran a cover a few weeks ago of a spoof of Survivor, where they had like caricatures of all the people in the White House and Trump in the middle, and like half of those people are gone now. Yep. That was about a month ago.
Yep. Well, they all stood in a circle and fired the guns.
Yep. There's one.
There's one. There's another one.
He's not true to the cause.
What I loved is, and you do have to love this, is that Angela Merkel was I think she was licking her lips when she...
Wait a minute.
Angela Merkel. This is talking about how horrifying and racist and so on. It is to see these people with these flags. I mean, they all had flags that... You know I love the flags. And in fact, Mel, you were right on it. You sent me copies of, you know, sent me some of a little page that showed some of the flags
right.
that they were using. These were people that they were branded. They knew who they were, and they wanted you to know who they were.
Well, the chance about don't replace us with Jews was kind of a tip off.
There were five or six flags that you sent me from this website to get me up to date on what flags they were using at the rally. The racists were, and there was the Nazi flag, and there was a various. Sort of spin-offs from that, and then ones that were connected with you know, the resurgence of the Confederate States, and there's like your old battle flag, and then there's like a Southern Power one or something like that. There's another. Mm-hmm. It's also a cross,
like an X,
yeah, like a big X on it, and so on. I mean, so
I thought that was for the mutants.
Exactly, the X-Men. Yeah. Well, it's funny you should make that connection, because what really got my goat was one of the flags. They ripped off from Dr. Doom's mythical kingdom of Latveria in the Fantastic Four comics. And I'm like, boy, nothing is sacred, is it? Nothing is sacred to these people.
That's a bridge too far.
Yeah, it's just too far. Yeah. But it was, you know, the president, as we all know, were making remarks about, there were some good people in that crowd. If they were, they were carrying funny flags to indicate that, yeah. because everyone was very clearly trying to let you know who they were and why they were there,
mm-hmm.
what group they belonged to. Yeah. They were trying to represent in a symbolic form the ideology that they had, and all you had to do was look and see the flags, and that told you all you need to know.
The torches was a tip off too.
The torches were I mean, you can actually see. You know, that's Triumph of the Will. If you want to see the marching with the torches and, you know, that kind of stuff.
But we have made advances in torch technology, because they had the citronella ones to keep the mosquitoes away.
Right, so exactly.
That was
well, you
smart.
Know, one of the things that Merkel was especially astounded by was to see all this Nazi paraphernalia, because, of course, in Germany and in Austria, it's against the law to carry Nazi symbols in public. And it's against the law to give the famous Hitler salute. And anyone who does that can be fined. In fact, there was a 41-year-old in Dresden who gave the salute on Saturday and is under investigation. And we don't know who it is, because they have better privacy laws than we do in Germany as well. But we do know one thing about him. He was an American.
Yeah. So we're being lectured on Nazis by Germany.
To be fair, Merkel said before we point our fingers at others, we need to take care of that which is happening at our home.
Yeah.
And of course,
well, good for them.
You know, the United States is a country that is torn, but what needs to be condemned is any form of violence. And this was another feature.
Well, you know,
they didn't just show up with flags. They showed up with semi-automatic weapons.
Right, they had body armor of some of them, and you know, helmets, and
this is the inevitable you know, conclusion of what 2 or 3 decades of propaganda about we need to be armed so we can defend ourselves from the state.
Water that tree of liberty.
Yeah,
Well, you know, Germany can lecture us when they take down all of their monuments to the Nazi people and the Nazi generals and... oh, never mind.
Well, they totally freaking have.
I know.
You know, the thing about it that I noticed when being in Germany is how many monuments they have saying, we screwed up.
Right. Exactly.
And we're really sorry, you folks, that we did horrible things to. And here's a monument to you. And here's more stuff about you. And here's some other people that we were not terribly good to. And here's a monument for you. And,
right.
And in fact, I think we could, here in the United States, not to bash this great country, but we could make a pretty good tourist trade out of all the people that we screwed over. You know? If we just put monuments up to those people, we could be raking the dough in.
Like those maps of the stars home.
Exactly. You know? Get rid of this Confederate, you know, celebrating those Confederate generals and so on. And put a few,
Some hot dog stands and, you know.
My old college town of Lexington, Kentucky, they're moving. They have a rule against destroying, but they're moving the two Confederate statues that they have, military honor statues that they have in Lexington. And the bitter irony of it is, of course, as the mayor of Lexington recently pointed out, is that the statues are on ground that used to be where the slave trading block was in Lexington. Mm. So not only was it... not only was it a whitewash of history, it was a poke in the eye of history, it were, to put those statues there. And I think that's the thing, of course, with the president's narrative, which he parrots from the right, that, you know, we're messing with history. And will it be George Washington?
Yeah, history from 1957.
Right, exactly. You know? Well, I mean, it was big in the late, in the 1890s when Jim Crow was being put together. It was big again in the 1920s when the KKK was at a peak in the United States. And then in the 1950s when they were fighting segregation. That's when these counter-narratives got created, basically.
Right, right.
It was a way of exercising control over history. You know, these were the good guys. These guys should be honored. And it's like, no, these guys were traitors. These were people that were willing to take up arms against people in the United States so they could continue to have the right to own other people.
Mm-hmm.
And if we continue to blink at that and say, oh, these were different times. No, people at the time thought it was bad. That's why we fought a war about it.
And the rest of the civilized world at the time had outlawed slavery. We were, you know, way behind the curve on that. So I
mean, even the Russians had gotten rid of serfdom by that point.
I know there was, you know, economic slavery, essentially, but as far as actually owning and selling human beings, there's no nuance there. I mean, look at the Confederate Constitution. It's right there, you know, and
it's one of the rights.
They use the word slave,
the right to own. And of course, they sprinkle the fairy dust of a religion on it, because unlike the U.S. Constitution, God's right in there, you know, because you got to blame everything on poor God. You know, God loves us. God wants us to do this. So who are we to we to argue?
Yeah.
You know?
Probably the most chilling thing. I read through their Constitution this week. Not the whole thing, but I just, you know, read through some of it.
Yeah.
And the most chilling thing is they talk about how, as if they're going to, when they're adding new states, they were planning ahead to add new states.
Sure, of course.
They were saying those would all be slave states as well.
They were looking at what is now Arizona and New Mexico in particular, which were adjacent to Texas. Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, they were right out there with it. And what the South effectively did rhetorically, and of course in the late 19th century, and this was something that was only sort of, I think, repudiated on a large scale in the 1950s, was that they said, oh, it wasn't really about slavery. And, you know, it was about the tyranny of the people telling us what to do. It's always about, it's never about the wrong. It's always about how dare you think you can tell us what to do, I've noticed.
Yeah.
And, you know, so if you have a different view, you must think you're superior. If you have a different view, you must be arrogant. It's the arrogance that really bothers we Southerners, they say. No, it's because they're telling you can't do a crappy thing. That's what's bothering you. That's what's totally bothering you.
You can't own people and sell off a family.
Well, the problem too was, I mean, it's like, it was like the derivatives market. I mean, the entire economy was based on mortgaging and remortgaging the potential value of the sale of slaves. The whole economy was structured on that as a basic thing.
Right.
And if the value in that dropped away, then the entire economy collapsed, which, of course, it did. Because, I mean, they were using that as their ultimate source of value for everything. I mean, that's how you know, people would take out loans based on that and so on. I mean, and then they would resell the value of that to somebody else and so on. And that's what kept the economy going.
Yeah. What was the college? I think William and Mary put all of their money into Confederate money at the time. And then they ended up just completely broke in 1865. I've seen some stories about protesters on the as far as the Confederate monuments, you know, being creative and funny, which I always I always like that.
Right.
I always appreciate that. Okay. And some people were going around putting brassieres on some of the statues, which, you know, would just drive the mouth breathers crazy. It's like, get that brassiere off Stonewall Jackson. He didn't need one. He was perky without it.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Gravity defying, I would say.
That's why they call him Stonewall. But and then there was a woman in, she was actually in Arizona, but, you know, of course we have these monuments all over. We had a story that Mayor Soglin was saying, we're going to get those out of the Madison.
They have some folks that were up here that were Confederate soldiers.
Yeah, they died at Camp Randall, a lot of football fans do every Saturday.
It's a quiet death.
But there was a woman in Arizona who decorated one Confederate monument with signs that said things like consolation prize, good job, good try, second place.
Yeah. You know? Well, here's the thing about that. I mean, I understand the concept that you might be willing to, I don't know, how shall I put it? You might be willing to honor. Bravery is not an easy thing for any of us.
Right.
I mean, it's not easy to stand up to someone that is unpleasant, or to organize your life in a way that you put yourself out there for others or whatever. And certainly if you're facing, you know, a hail of bullets or something, I mean, that's a real test of your ability to pursue a cause. But the cause itself is right. What's also being celebrated on these things. Right. And that's the part that's problematic. If you wanted to say, oh, it's all those brave guys who had crazy ass ideas about what to do with their lives, good for you. You know, I mean, I get that. But to say, okay, here's a big flag that celebrates heritage. And it's like, no, it celebrates a country that was founded on the concept that people can own people, mm-hmm. and that's okay.
Yeah.
And as Abraham Lincoln said, if slavery's not wrong, nothing is wrong. And that's what I get when I hear these people. They must think nothing can be wrong. Everything's, it's all, you know, might makes right.
But, you know, I can see both sides.
Yeah, I don't think
that's what
so.
Lincoln said.
You know, I got to tell you, this was a surprise, and this maybe fits in with what I just said. Five of the Joint Chiefs of Staff representing the Army, the Marines, the Navy, the Air Force, and the National Guard Command issued messages this week on social media condemning Nazis, which you would think would be not a noteworthy thing to do.
Well, that's, you know, we always talk about, you know, the goalpost being moved, and now we, you know, it's actually controversial whether you support Nazis or not. I mean,
well, and as we all know, of course, the president is not backing down on his euphemistically called nativist talk. That's the word that's sometimes used. And he floated, you probably heard this week, he floated some crazy story about General Pershing.
Oh, yeah. He did that during the campaign.
Shooting Muslims with pig blood bullets or some kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, this is thoroughly discredited. It's just like another thing that Grandpa made up when he was yelling in those kids on his lawn or whatever. I mean, I don't know.
pigs are not like kryptonite to Muslims. I mean, it's
No.
Well, I didn't see it, but I guess, he had his initial statement where he kind of said, well, there's problems on both sides or something ridiculous.
Many sides.
Yeah. And now he likes to look at things from a lot of different angles, and he doesn't like to jump to any conclusions.
Yeah, I know that about him.
Because he pointed out he wanted to wait till all the facts came in.
That's his M.O.
but then a couple days later, he gave a statement, in a more formal statement. I didn't see it, but I read comments about it. And they said it was like, somebody being like a kid being told he had to apologize to the neighbor for breaking the window.
Now shake your brother's hand.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And but then, the, like, 15 minutes later, he's out tweeting the same original stuff. And
well, the thing that's especially galling about that, too, the whole equivalency argument, is there's lots of statistics that show that that is utterly false. Yes, there's, some screaming person somewhere who represents what he called the alt-left, although I'm not even sure what that means. Yeah. It's that weird reflexive thing they do, well, you are too,
Yeah.
And but there's work that's been done on this. I mean, not just like liberal groups or something, not fake news. I mean, analysis has been done by the Cato Institute on this, for God's sakes. And what the data shows is that white nationalists, militia movements, anti-Muslim attackers, people that attack IRS buildings, abortion clinic bombers, and these other right-wing groups, they're responsible for 12 times as many fatalities and 36 times as many injuries as, and here's your list on the other side, communists, socialists, animal rights, environmental activists, Black Lives Matters, and other left-wing groups.
Mm.
So you're basically looking at 36 times as many injuries and 12 times as many fatalities as all these other groups put together when you look at the radical right. And yet, in the president's mind, they're equivalent.
Mm-hmm. In Wisconsin's top Republicans have been largely silent on President Trump's defiant blaming of both sides for the
weekend.
They're
too busy in the trough right now. They can't look up from that yummy, yummy Foxconn dough that's going to be coming their way. Come on.
It's Fox and it's a con.
Who could be against that?
Scott Walker hasn't commented directly on Trump's remarks. His only comment came Saturday, tweeting that we should all condemn the violence and hate at the protest. Paul Ryan said that white supremacy is repulsive.
Mm, so don't join a different party.
Yeah, I mean, this is the pattern we've seen. Whenever Trump does something that's horrible and ridiculous and disgusting is that, you know, sometimes there'll be these comments like, well, that's just wrong, or we don't support that. But then they don't like do anything, and then they just go into lockstep again.
If you look at the supporters, this is fascinating too. There's some data on this. If you look at the supporters of the respective presidential candidates on the Republican side last time during the primaries, and you ask them questions about what it means to be an American, this was a recent study that was done. Let's see who did this. Was it our buddies? I can't find who did this. Oh, at the Democracy Fund, which is a bipartisan foundation that funds political research. So they talked to 8,000 people who voted in the 2012 presidential election as part of their voter study group. And they found that 9% of GOP primary voters who reported supporting John Kasich thought that European background was important to being an American. 16% of those who supported Ted Cruz thought the same thing. To be an American, you had to have a European background. 22% of Marco Rubio's, and 30% of Mr. Trump's supporters. If you ask them about religion, a third of Democrats and just more than half, 56% of Republicans, thought that to be an American, you had to be a Christian. You can own slaves, but you have to be a Christian. On the other hand, in the GOP primary, Mr. Trump's voters stood out. 63% of his primary supporters thought that being a Christian was a precondition for being an American. So again, for those of us who are watching, none of this is a surprise. This guy came out. I mean, he started his campaign by coming down the giant gilded escalator and laying into Mexicans.
Right.
I mean, everything he said from beginning to end has affirmed everything that he's been saying in the last couple of days.
Yeah.
But somehow he's managed to say it even more grotesquely than before. And the swastika helped. I mean, you know, I got to say, when you say, hey, those guys over there with the swastika, they're okay by me. Somebody notices that. There still are a couple of one or two veterans of the Second World War that might be like a little hacked off about that. I don't know. It's just a guess.
I remember Captain America punching Hitler in the jaw.
Yeah.
Well, there were a couple stories this week, too. Speaking of equivalency here.
Yeah.
Couple stories about, you know, we're going to pull down these statues of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson.
Sure, of course.
Somebody vandalized the Lincoln Memorial this week. They spray painted some profanity on part of it.
Really?
Yeah, and it's a blank the law, which was a little bit odd, I thought. And then the same thing, something similar happened in Chicago. There was a Lincoln statue, and Somebody set it on fire.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know how you set a statue on fire, but you've got to be pretty...
John Wilkes Booth was here.
I guess.
I guess that's what you'd spray on there. Yeah, there was a story. A 17-year-old was arrested in Massachusetts, in the Boston. He was from Malden. It was in the Boston area. And he committed vandalism at a Holocaust memorial in Boston. You know, I don't think I've mentioned this, but when we were in Paris, Companion and I went to their Holocaust museum there. It's actually it's only secondarily has things related to the Holocaust. It's actually more just about Jewish heritage in Paris, and particularly in the Marais area, which is where we were. And they had some. I haven't seen this level of security. And you know, you don't have that at airport. You don't have that at jewelry stores. I mean, it's just like amazing. I mean, you had to go. You had everything. You got wanded. You had to take everything out of your pocket, and you had to go through these plexiglass double doors where they beeped you in or buzzed you in. Mm-hmm. You had to stand in this little cubicle, and the door would close behind you so nobody else could come in. There's guards on both sides keeping an eye on you to make sure that, you know, you're not doing anything and there's nobody jumped in with you, and then they let you through the next door. Because they're worried that people are going to vandalize the various artifacts, because there's, you know, there's Torahs there and Talmuds and menorahs and so on that go back to... back to the 1400s, 1500s, and they don't want anybody just getting in there and doing some kind of crazy crap.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say something nice. Let's say something pleasant about this. Barack Obama did a tweet on Tuesday night. It quickly became the most liked tweet in the history of Twitter, according to representatives for Twitter. The former president's tweet sent out Saturday evening paired a quote from Nelson Mandela's 1994 autobiography, Long Walk to Freedom, with a picture of Mr. Obama smiling up at a diverse group of young children. On Tuesday at about 10:07, it broke the record. That was 10:07 p.m. It broke the record for most liked tweet, according to Ariana Grande. That was from Ariana Grande. It was the one the day before. The picture of Mr. Obama was taken by the White House photographer at the time on June 9th, 2011, at a daycare facility in Bethesda, near where Mr. Obama's younger daughter, Sasha, had been participating in her fourth grade closing ceremony.
Very nice.
That probably also drove the Donald around the curve there. They still like him better.
I heard Donald had higher numbers on his reach.
Yeah, I'm sure he did.
So I saw an Instagram post this morning. It said, "Dear God, if you want us to get rid of Donald Trump, send us some kind of sign, like blot out the sun or something."
Yeah, well, you know, Companion and I are actually going to go see the eclipse. We're going to be in Nebraska on Monday.
Yeah.
And Crete, Nebraska probably is where we'll end up. That's a good, nice, in the middle of the zone there, the zone of totality. And I was surprised because, you know, Companion is interested in galactic structure and interstellar medium. I didn't think the sun was big enough to interest him. But apparently, he's sending a threat to the president that we astronomers are going to do something about the sun if he don't shape up. So. And well, I think that I told him he should rejigger the threat because we can predict things.
Yeah,
that's what we do. So that climate change thing, you should really listen. We know how to predict things, we scientists.
We could turn around and tell Trump that if he doesn't get out of the White House by Monday, the sun will go black.
Yeah, there you go.
Spotify is deleting white supremacist songs after a music industry publication alerted the company to their presence on the streaming service.
Yep.
They said they're glad to have been alerted to this content and have already removed many of the bands identified.
A couple of other Discord also is removing some of the posted swastikas and chat rooms that are associated with Hitler, like National Socialist Army and Führer's Gas Chamber. That's a lovely one.
Nice.
This is a statement, again, this is from Discord's chief marketing officer. "We unequivocally condemn white supremacy, neo-Nazism, or any other group term or ideology based on those beliefs." What are those beliefs? The belief that your particular group of humanity is the real one and everybody else is basically subhuman. I think that was the idea.
This year, Republican lawmakers in at least six states have proposed bills designed to protect drivers, quote, protect drivers, who strike protesters with their cars.
Oh, my Lord.
The first bill was introduced in North Dakota in January, and that was because of the pipeline protests. And similar bills have since come under consideration in North Carolina, Tennessee, Florida, Texas, and Rhode Island.
Rhode Island?
Yeah, I don't know. So, they're trying to discourage protests typically relating to either the Dakota Access Pipeline or Black Lives Matters or other left-leaning causes. Imagine that. Mm. That sometimes obstruct traffic. The North Dakota bill would shield drivers from civil and criminal liabilities. The bill sponsor, State Representative Keith Kernpenick, suggested that shielding drivers who kill protesters was a necessary anti-terrorism measure.
Hmm.
Yeah.
What?
He said protesters who block...
Yeah, because we learned that in Barcelona. Yeah. Jeez.
Protesters who block cars were committing an intentional act of terrorism. The definition of terrorism, he said.
No.
Right-wing website.
No, that is not the definition.
No, it's not. Well, no, not even in North Dakota. So.
Standing in the way of somebody is not a terrorist act.
No. That Gandhi.
Lord.
Getting in the way of my fist.
I mean, there's an FBI definition of terrorism. It's not my favorite, but there is one. There's a UN definition of terrorism, and it does not include standing in front of something. Neither of them do. Hey, along the same lines, though, days before leaving office in January, I don't know if you heard about this, the Obama administration had announced that it awarded $400,000 to a Chicago-based organization dedicated to combating right-wing domestic extremists. It was a group called Life After Hate, And the idea was to try to help people who have basically been kind of led into this through frustration and anger and goodness knows what else, to see if we can't kind of pull back from that and find some other way of dealing with some of the issues that they're experiencing. But of course, once the Trump administration got into office, just days later, they yanked the grant. And in June, they said that they were putting it on kind of a, you know, indefinite sort of pending review situation. And then right after that, they announced that they're going to have their own grant program to fight extremism.
Oh, okay.
And they seem to, the fight part seems to be unclear how that's going to work. But at any rate, fight four, I think they might be fight
our four. Our task force on extremism.
Yes. Well, it's like everything else they do, right? It's exactly the opposite of the thing it's supposed to be for. Yeah. You know? It's like food inspections, you bet. Environmental protection.
No, there's not, okay. Enough, not enough rat droppings in
yeah,
there.
Yeah, they're going to add some rat droppings. By the way,
I was going to say they had that, Trump had that industrial council too, where people kept quitting and quitting.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. He just closed her down.
Yeah, well, the first thing is, oh, I got plenty of CEOs, you know, I don't need, you know, like, what was it, the guy from like Oracle and,
yeah, right.
And Google and I forget, but they were like big Nike or something. I mean, and it's like, no, I don't need those guys. Then like a day later, they shut the whole thing down.
Well, they were going to end up with the Hobby Lobby people and Bible Hardware. And that was going to be it.
And the MyPillow guy.
Yeah, the MyPillow guy. Hey, another online platform, GoDaddy, dropped its daily Stormer site.
Oh, very nice.
Apparently, I didn't even realize they had a Daily Stormer site, sure. but they did.
The Daily, and this is true, Daily Stormer did find a new hosting service.
Yeah.
It's located in Russia.
Oh, very nice. Yeah. Very good for them. No surprise.
Appropriately
there.
Enough.
Wow. All goes back to Russia, doesn't it?
It kind of does.
That's what, I mean, I guess that's kind of the model of what a modern fascist light state looks fascist light, because everything's light now. Everything, you know, you don't want to commit. You
want
to just
nimble, yeah.
Yeah, you just want to have the kind of the,
you know, that heavy weighed down feeling.
No,
totalitarianism.
Yeah, you don't need like some kind of Mussolini pushing you around or something. You just got a, you know, got a guy with a lot of money and a lot of cronies, and you know, and things are going to hell in a handbasket. But you know, look over there, and
look, black people, Mexicans.
Yeah, look what they're doing.
Muslims.
I saw this statistic, and I wish I'd brought it in. It was really amazing. It was a study, sort of mega study that had been done by these sociologists, and they were looking at countries where there had been severe economic downturns. And I almost hesitate to talk about it because I don't have the details in front of me, but their assessment was something like, in 40% of all the cases where a country experienced a severe economic downturn, racist and ethnic racism and ethnic hatreds were activated as a way of a certain segments of the population responding to that.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone perceives it now as a zero-sum game, and the dominant group in the society fears, you know, with grounding or not in any kind of evidence, that that they're going to have their livelihoods threatened by these invaders that are taking their jobs and their women or whatever else it is. You know?
Those are the two big ones. Yeah. But I mean, these guys with the tiki torches don't understand that it's not like the Mexicans taking their jobs.
Right.
It's not, you know, the black people or whatever they're afraid
of. It's iRobot.
Well, it is. It's, you know, it's the Koch brothers who are, you know, again, rigging the systems more and more so that the best they can do is, you know, get a minimum wage job at Home Depot or something. And then that's really what's going on. It's not the fact that, you know, we're letting too many brown people in the country.
I usually don't talk about things I see on television, but I watched a delightfully ironic report on PBS last night where they were talking about, all these jobs that we're losing in brick and mortar retail are all going to be in these fulfillment centers. For Amazon. By the way, I just want to let people know that typical of my transactions with Amazon, I received last night two novels by Henry James and season 9 of Doctor Who via Amazon, and all of them had a smutch or a place or a scratch or something wrong. Oh, every time I order something from them, somebody, you know, there's some imperfection. I mean, it's like it's always got some kind of ding. There's always a ding no matter what I order. But of course, am I going to send it back? It's only a ding. Why be neurotic, right? But it's never something I think to myself, oh, good, it's in good condition. No, it's like kind of crappy a little bit, just a little bit.
Hmm.
But anyway, they were saying you know, we'll all be working these fulfillment centers and won't they be great? And then the reporter said, well, what about the robots? They've already got these little things that look like giant metallic ticks that move things around in there. And they're like, oh, that won't be for ages. Yeah. And then it turns out that there actually is a mechanical picker that's been created in a competition sponsored by Amazon.
I love the term fulfillment center.
Yeah, I know. But when I got the Nixon dollars from the Mint,
yeah,
they came from the fulfillment center. Oh, just, I felt so fulfilled when I got them.
Yeah, that's so blissful.
Yeah.
Hey, you're listening to the Mel and Floyd Show here on WORT 89.9 FM. Oh, we should mention we're going to be at the festival this weekend.
Beacon Park, I think it's called.
Yeah, it's the first year for the festival. We're going to be there from 2 to 4 on Saturday.
I had to look on Google Maps to find it. I didn't even know where Beacon Park was.
Yeah, I didn't either. It's a little off where we normally
Yeah, it's on it's on the east side, a little further out. And
by Oscar Mayer and that
area over there. Yeah, so it'll be fun.
But yeah, come on over. It's first time, like I say, first time for the festival. But there'll be music and food and beer and we'll be there.
We'll be holding court as the volunteer coordinator Glenn mentioned in our email.
Because he knows we don't do any actual work.
Yeah, we swan in. And blow kisses to the crowd.
We're supposed to be like working there and selling stuff.
All the WRT folks are scuttling around like little robots at an Amazon fulfillment center. And
we're
doing
drinking
nothing.
Our martinis.
Yeah, exactly. It's terrifying. So come
signing body parts.
Come and enjoy the class privilege that we enjoy here at WRT. Oh, jeez.
So, yeah, 2 to 4 tomorrow. That'll be fun. It's supposed to be a nice weekend, so come on out and say hi. It's always fun to meet people who listen to the station. So, all right, we're going to take a brief break and then come back with, try to change the subject a little bit here. Pubic hair grooming, the dangerous side.
Support for this program comes from WORT's listener sponsors and Isthmus Newspaper. Isthmus is back on newsstands the first Thursday of every month, and now a nonprofit. Isthmus continues to expand its independent coverage of local government, the arts, and all things Madison at isthmus.com.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and the Wine and Hop Shop, located at 1919 Monroe Street. Specializing in home brewing and winemaking supplies for over 40 years. Open to in-person shopping or order online for curbside pickup, in Madison delivery and shipping of supplies at wineandhop.com.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and Dane Dances, a free, family-friendly event at the Monona Terrace rooftop every Friday evening in August. This week features Orquesta Salsol del Mad at 6 p.m. and Soul to the Bone at 8 p.m. Carry-in chairs, blankets, and baskets permitted. No carry-in alcohol. More information on the Dane Dances concert series is available at danedances.org.
Do you love WORT? If you're an experienced fundraiser looking for a new challenge, WORT is looking for you. Our current donor relations director is retiring after 11 years at the station. She says we have the best volunteers, listeners, and donors in all of community radio. As a member of the WORT staff collective, the donor relations director is accountable for developing and executing annual fundraising plans that highlight the listener-sponsor partnership and ensures WORT's continued financial health. Find out more about this opportunity by visiting our website at WORTFM.org and searching for Donor Relations Director. The deadline to apply is midnight on Monday, August 25th. WORT is an equal opportunity employer. Persons from all underrepresented groups are strongly encouraged to apply.
So the Wisconsin State Assembly has passed a $3 billion tax break package for Foxconn Technology Group.
Oh, big surprise.
Yeah, they did it yesterday. Now sends the bill to the Senate, where it must pass in its identical form. And they do have their rubber stamp there. They can just stamp it and move it on to the governor. So passed 59-30 with three Democrats joining the 56 Republicans. 28 Democrats and 2 Republicans voted against it.
Oh, very good. Got some lots of messages during the break. Someone was telling me where to find Henry James. And, you know, I just want to let everyone know at home, I'm not a regular Amazon user. I only go there when I can't find a volume that I really want, and it's not worth it to the store to purchase it for me. I mean, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this on the air, but, you know, I love Room of One's Own. I mean, I go there all the time. That's where I try to go. If I want to find a particular volume, though, and it, ordering something that's only $5 is really not going to be in their wheelhouse, so that's why I do that. Sure. Just so you know, I try to shop local whenever I can. And then, I mean, I don't even have a cell phone, for God's sakes. I mean, I'm a total freak. And then Spiezer called and said that they look forward to seeing us at the Eakin Park Fest. So that's very exciting. Also, someone was offended, apparently, by our choice of music at the beginning, and I just want to provide some context for that. That was a very famous World War II parody, basically, to make fun of Hitler during the period of time when we were fighting in the Second World War. And it was done by the Spike Jones band. It was a popular hit in the 1940s. So the people who were living in the 1940s fighting the Nazis, they saw it as a sort of a rallying cry. Not too dissimilar, I think, to the kind of attitude that Mel Brooks took when he did the Producers, of the best way to deal with horror is to ridicule. Mm-hmm. And of course, when the song was made, people didn't realize the depth of the horror, but they knew that Hitler was certainly imminent. Imminently available for ridicule. And that's what the song is about.
Two Wisconsin legislators yesterday introduced a proposal to repeal state law requiring mining companies to demonstrate they have operated without polluting before they're permitted to extract metals. "People want to make things in America again," said Tom Tiffany from Hazelhurst. "Our neighbors, Minnesota and Michigan, have placed their shovels in the dirt of America's future. It is Wisconsin's turn to do the same."
Yay. So, the dirt of America's future. I think that's a great metaphor. I can see a lot of things in that dirt right now.
The dirt of America's future. So, oddly enough, the Sierra Club and Wisconsin Resources Protection Council urged the legislature to reject the plan.
Well, with Nazism apparently raising its ugly head, we've had some counter reactions, and this is one that I kind of felt good about. After 147 years, Friedrich Engels is back in town. Turns out that with the help of musician Phil Collins, the city of Manchester, England, now has a statue of Engels, who was Karl Marx's primary collaborator, erected in a central plaza there. Collins, who was nominated for the Turner Prize for British Visual Arts back in 2006, has immersed himself in the history of the Industrial Revolution and of socialism in Manchester. And he decided that he thought it would be a good idea to have this statue of Engels there. The statue is 12 feet tall, and it was actually originally in the Eastern Europe. So it was cut in half for better travel and then reconnected. It was a project funded by the Manchester City Council. They're kind of happy to have Engels there. According to one local resident, Engels changed the course of history. And according to the singer Gruff Rhys, performed as a British singer, performed a song entitled "Communism's Coming Home Again." So there you go.
Nothing new under the sun.
No, there really isn't. Hey, Neil Gorsuch is, you know, the one accomplishment that President Trump can point to. And I have to say, you can really tell he's a Donald Trump Supreme Court appointee, because he's scheduled this week to address a conservative group in the Trump International Hotel in Washington, D.C. It's next month in September. And less than 2 weeks before the court is set to hear arguments on Mr. Trump's travel ban. Chip off the old block there.
Roll over, get a treat.
Hey, the Commonwealth of Australia has been in the business of buying guns, basically. They've been collecting guns in a nationwide amnesty, trying to get as many unregistered firearms as possible. And in the last month, they've gotten 12,500 unregistered weapons. It's running, this amnesty is running from July 1st to September 30th. And potential criminals, are they lining up to hand in their guns? Well, maybe not. But according to Philip Alpers, he's an associate professor at the University of Sydney, he says that he figures that a lot of the guns that the criminals have are probably ones they've stolen, and so would describe them as rubbish guns.
It's rubbish guns, mate.
I love the use of the word rubbish like that.
Rubbish is great.
Yeah, it's a great modifier.
The largest hand-in so far has come from New South Wales, where 6,400 firearms surrendered. I'm sorry Flo isn't here to provide us some context for why New South Wales would be such a haven for handguns. We've also received more than 110 prohibited weapons, including knives and samurai swords. According to, a lot of samurai swords in New South Wales, according to Wayne Hoffman, who is the detective chief inspector for the New South Wales Police.
Yeah, those concealed carry permits for the samurai swords, they don't issue many of those. But
if you saw the Wonder Woman movie, you'll notice that she's able to do that fairly well.
Is she?
She carries a sword into an event to sort of between the back of her, in the back of her gown.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It's kind of stuck in there. Yeah, you need to go see that.
I should. It's supposed to be good.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
You know, I mean,
it's a superhero movie. So you have to put it in its own little box.
Well,
there,
I mean, the last two I've seen were Batman versus Superman, which was horrible, gang. Horrible.
Yeah.
And then Suicide Squad, which I just, I couldn't wait for it to get over. I mean, I actively hated that.
Have you ever walked out of a movie?
Just porno movies.
I didn't need to know that. I'll never measure up. No, I've actually, there's been a couple movies that I've walked out of because
I can't think of every, I don't think I ever have.
It's just too violent or it's too gross or something. I'm a cheapskate. So I'm walking out of a movie, that means I really don't like it.
Yeah. I almost did the Natural Born Killers. That was just a little too much. But I think that's as close as
I get queasy with the violence sometimes. It's a little bit, you know, it's like, I mean, no, thank you. I don't like to see this in real life. Why would I want to see, you know, representations? Right. Erzatz violence still suggests the same thing.
Yeah, so I'm like that with, there's so much, and I blame Dick Cheney for this. Like, I blame him for everything. No, there's torture in almost like every movie. Not like, you know, like serious movies, like cop movies and spy movies and, you know, stuff like that.
Generalized
sadism. They always either capture the good guy or the good guy captures the bad guy and tortures them.
I mean, you can't tell who's who.
And it's so accepted. In the Australian gun, maybe you don't know this, and I'll ask Flo when she's here next time, but does Australia have a lot of, I would assume they'd have a lot of guns, like we do.
Right.
They're kind of, you know, kind of Wild West out there.
Right,
like
you got to protect yourself from those kangaroos.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of things that'll kill you in
Australia. There's a lot of things. The butterflies are poisonous,
It's not all cute wombats and their little square poop.
It's exactly the opposite.
So I was just wondering if they're, you know, because whenever we have gun statistics come out about this country, we're always, you know, way off the charts as far as, you know, how many homicides we have. I mean, we'll have, what do we have, 20,000 homicides or something? I forget the numbers, but, you know, and then, you know, Japan will have one and Great Britain will have two. And it's just, I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, people think
I don't know if Australia is like that.
People think it's directly connected with teen suicide. I mean, the teen suicide rate continues to go up in the United States. And if you were thinking, well, aren't there a lot of depressed teens in other countries? And the answer is definitely. The question is, what do they have available to them?
Mm-hmm. So that's a good point.
Theodora wrote us a little message here. Scott Walker isn't smart enough to handle a deal with Foxconn. No, he doesn't need to be. He's just the cheerleader. I mean, you know, he just says, you know, what, my masters, and then
he can say jobs. Look, I brought all these jobs to Wisconsin. And so, hey, pubic hair grooming has become a common practice among both men and women in the United States. However,
how do we know that?
That's what it says.
Is it self-reporting?
It says right here. A significant number of people among them suffered from a number of injuries, including cuts and infections, according to a new study.
Ew. Oh, you mean they're shaving?
Yeah.
Well, that grooming is, I mean, like, you know.
Well, they're clipping or they're shaving.
Making it into a little mustache or something.
No, they're not. that's
waxing or something. So they're
not
actually
like bedazzling it or anything.
So what you're telling me is they're removing the hair.
Yeah. Oh. Grooming. Like,
you know, oh, okay.
Like,
well, see, I think of grooming, I think of like you have a pet. You don't shave your pet when you groom it.
Yeah.
It's like I'm taking my dog to the dog groomer and it comes back and it's just like naked.
Yeah.
That would be weird. So I thought you were just like shaping.
Well, maybe they're, you know, cleaning up, you know, just to trim the hedges a little bit there.
Okay. Then, that I can get behind that.
Yeah. But according to a new study, a urologist from San Francisco published this in the JAMA Dermatology.
Yeah.
76% of the participants said they removed some or all of their pubic hair almost on a regular basis. Almost 26% of those adults reported they had suffered at least one injury, including cuts, burns, and infections. Injuries were found to be more common among women as compared to men, but it's pretty close, 27 to 24%.
Wow.
Cuts were the most common injury.
Stop doing that.
Stop cutting yourself there.
Yeah, stop doing that.
They found that the scrotum was the primary site for injury among men.
There's a surprise. Yeah.
Other possible injuries include nicks, bumps, blisters, pimples, ingrown hair, infections, and that might lead to itching and razor burn. the guy who did the study said, we were quite frankly surprised and disgusted. Actually. Yeah, right.
What's the deal, people? Why do you want to look like you're 12? I don't get it.
No, they were surprised at how frequently people were presenting them with injuries related to grooming. 3% of the time, adults are coming into emergency rooms with a grooming injury. He said those who removed all of their hair were more likely to have been injured. So that's back to your point about the, you know.
Yeah, grooming is fine, you know. Make it, you know, curl it up. Little fringe.
Smiley face.
Yeah, a little Mr. Spock hairdo. Whatever you want to do with
it. Little arrow, you know.
Exactly. Just keep it under control. I get that, but, you know. Not so much. It bothers me. It kind of like, why would you want to do that? I'm sorry. I guess I'm just. This is how I know that I'm out of sync with my culture. It's not because I disapprove. It's because I can't imagine why anybody would do that to begin with. Hey, the Canaanites. Remember the Canaanites?
Yeah, sure.
There's a story in the Bible that tells that God basically annihilated the Canaanites, who lived for thousands of years in what is now Jordan, Lebanon, Syria. And you probably read that. Did you ever go to Bible
sure.
school?
Oh,
you went through catechism and the whole deal.
Yeah.
And but here's the problem. They were still around. They didn't get annihilated. According to a recent dig and some DNA studies, they found five Canaanite bones of five Canaanites, 3,650 to 3,750 years old, discovered in Lebanon. And then when they compared the DNA from these bones with the DNA of the genomes of 100 people living in Lebanon right now, they found out that 93% of their ancestry is from ancient Canaanites.
Really?
So not so much with the destroying of the Canaanites, apparently. That was just a story people told.
Did you see the story about that one of the white supremacist people this week had apparently it's a thing now where they'll send out for DNA tests like through Ancestry or something, and it can tell you, you know, where what percentage of, you know, European background you are, and then I think the higher your number, you know, the more higher up in the clan you get to be. Or
yeah,
something.
Right.
But this one guy who was like a big, you know, big mouthy guy and apparently some kind of leader or something sent his off, and it came back and he was like, you know, 19% sub-Saharan African. And
nice.
And he didn't like that.
Of course,
so
he didn't.
He wanted them. He thought the test was wrong.
Fake news.
Yeah. Exactly. So we should set up a testing site for, you know, white supremacists and just tell them all it's 100% European.
So what kind of DNA profile do you need if you're a jerk? Like 100% jerk.
The fact that you're concerned about
this. Yeah, right, exactly.
I mentioned the eclipse coming up Monday, and we talked about that a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
But I looked up a few ancient beliefs about the eclipse, because that's always been a big deal when the sun...
And everything seems to be coming back, so we may be believing this ourselves very shortly. It's maybe a topic of conversation on Fox News.
I'm a little concerned because the Aztecs, like, killed people during the eclipse.
Yeah, well,
you know, they wanted to make sure the sun came back.
Yeah, and
it says ancient cultures, they tried to understand what was going on with the sun, and a lot of them, they involved, their, of course, their mythical creatures. They were eating the sun or stealing the sun. Sometimes they were seen as battles with like the sun and the moon or whatever, you know, kind of fighting.
You'd steal it and eat it.
Yeah.
Like a big pie on a window or something.
There was the one I liked. I forget where this came from, but it might have been a Hindu thing where they thought that the sun and the moon were getting together and like getting busy, you know.
Yes, yeah. Kama Sutra time.
Yeah.
Okay. Then what?
Let's do the eclipse.
So, that puts a whole new spin on it, doesn't it?
I know, because I like cause a lot of the cultures were were fighting or something. And this one is like, no, they're not fighting there.
Let's get it on. We should be playing that while the eclipse is going on. First 2.5 minutes, I got to say, that's not a good lover. Yeah. I don't know.
That's about right. Good night.
Good night.
There was another one where they said that what happened is the god dropped the torch, which is the sun.
The tiki torch, yeah.
Yeah, the tiki torch. And then all the races came out.
Yeah, right. You got to look out for that.
But, you know, the tiki torch has the citronella in it to keep the mosquitoes out.
Sure.
But now we need something to keep the racists out.
Keep the Nazi out.
Like we need some sort of, it's like the old, you know, woman who swallowed the fly.
Yeah,
it's like,
right.
You know, it's like now, the mosquitoes are gone, but now we have all these races.
Yeah.
So yeah, they thought they dropped the torch.
Just bang a big pan or something.
Well, that's what a lot of people. Again, a lot of people would come out and bang pans
when
the sun.
I told you my grandfather looked through my telescope one time and looked at the moon and said, "Wow, there's little hills and valleys up there." And I was like, "Well, yeah, what'd you expect?" And he said, "Well," I said, "my mama told me that it was perfectly smooth, just like a big ball." And I was like, wow, that's what they thought in the Middle Ages.
You called your mama a liar.
Yeah, I know. That's bad.
So, well, there's some modern superstitions, too.
Oh, are there now?
Many people around the world still see eclipses as evil omens that bring death, destruction, and disasters. But enough about the White House. some people say that eclipses can be a danger to pregnant women and their unborn children. In many cultures, young children and pregnant women are asked to stay indoors during an eclipse.
That's odd.
In India, people fast during a solar eclipse due to the belief that any food cooked while an eclipse happens will be poisonous. And in Italy, it's believed that flowers planted during a solar eclipse are brighter and more colorful than flowers planted any other time.
That's interesting.
And this helpful article points out that there's no scientific basis for any of these
beliefs.
Well,
of course. So,
yeah, thank you.
They're just colorful guesses at things. I remember when I did live in Kentucky, we frequently asked questions about when things were to be planted, right?
Sure.
And there was I don't know where it goes back to. I should do some research on this. But different astrological signs were connected with different parts of the human body. So you would say, you know, I'm a Virgo or something. You'd say, no, I'm a gonad, you know, or whatever. I mean, whatever part of the body was associated with that. So you were supposed to plant in the bowels, as I recall. And that meant that was the time of the month, or time of the year, rather, that was associated with that part of the human body. And so I remember vividly relatives saying that you know, you should not plant in the spleen or whatever. I mean, I'm probably making that part up, but I just remember everybody saying you plant in the bowels. That's what you're supposed to do. And I had not the slightest clue what people were talking about. And then I just kind of tracked it down. But I don't know where that comes from, where the cosmology or cosmogony or whatever of associating the human body with the cosmos, you know, as a whole, like that came from. But that was something that people would talk about down there. So maybe what's happening with those flowers in Italy is there's some it's an especially appropriate time. Maybe there's some positive influence that having the two bodies connected with each other sort of yanks on it and pulls it out a little bit more or something, you know.
So if you're like Cancer the crab, you'd plant it in the pubic hair.
Unless you've shaved it all off, of course.
You've shaved it all off.
Which is a bad idea, by the way. I just want to lay that out there again. The village of Makanda, Illinois, is about to experience its almost three minutes of fame, because that's the place in the United States that, according to NASA, will have the longest eclipse of the solar eclipses. That's
cool.
In a city. It'll be 2 minutes and 41 seconds. The total solar eclipse is expected to start around 10:16 a.m. in Oregon and then move diagonally across the country until it ends at South Carolina around 2:48 p.m. And those are local times. The duration of totality. I'd like to start a religion that the duration of totality.
Oh, that's nice.
The period during which the
two and a half minutes
fully covers the sun varies by location.
Oh, very nice.
So, just so you know,
I saw a story about a woman, and I think she might have been in Kentucky actually, but she asked the school if they could reschedule the eclipse because it was like back to school day or something. And it just wasn't going to work out for her schedule.
Yeah,
so.
I know that works. So. Just TiVo it.
Hey, it's 2 o'clock. You're listening to WRT 89.9 FM and HD in Madison. Just want to get one quick reminder in again that you and I are going to be at the Eakin Park Festival tomorrow.
We will.
From 2 to 4 in the WRT booth. That's at the 700 block of Meyer Avenue, I guess, near the Tip Top, if that helps you at all.
Oh, the Tip Top.
Yeah,
all right.
So come on out and say hi. We have to get out here now. The kiosk is next. After that, Who Cooks for You with the Real Jaguar, Amy Goodman, Democracy Now!, Labor Radio, Blues, Friday on My Mind, all kinds of great stuff here on your favorite radio station. Thanks for listening. Have a great week. We'll talk at you next Friday, or come on out and say hi tomorrow.
Bye. Yeah. I got to get on the good foot. Going down to the crib, let all hang out. I wear sober people knows, but it's about the You're listening to WRT Madison.
This is the Insurgent Radio Kiosk for Friday, August 8th.
This is Bird Note. Ross's gull has a reputation for beguiling birders. They're very scarce. Rarely stray south of the high Arctic, and they're beautiful. Most birders would be happy to encounter one in their lifetime. Ross's gulls have the gentle symmetry of a dove. These dainty seabirds have a petite black bill and wedge-shaped tail. Though their bodies are mostly gray, their breast feathers and underparts glow a satiny pink, thanks to pigments from the marine crustaceans they pluck from the ocean surface. Ross's gulls breed on the coast of Greenland and northern Siberia, where they feast on flying insects hawked from tundra ponds. Nesting completed in August, many Ross's gulls rove thousands of miles west to find food along the pack ice. By October, they're on the move again. The gulls